Today, Pastor Ringstaff is joining us. He was here about a year and a half ago, I believe, for those who remember him. Pastor Ringstaff is the conference secretary out of Lansing. His home church is in East Lansing, the University Church. And he's here with his wife, Shelley, who is also involved in the church. Her position is community service and disaster relief, right? So they have three children, one at Andrews, one at GLA, and one at home. So, please give a welcome to Pastor Ringstaff. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the kind introduction and the warm welcome. It's a blessing to be here together. And I noticed, you know, as we were calling for the offering, my wife was very happy with today's offering because it was for community services. And all right, but it is a blessing, a wonderful blessing to be here with you today and looking forward to opening the Word of God. And you know, it's amazing when you think about just the family we are here in Michigan, and the Monroe Church is we have really two polar opposite points in Michigan. One is all the way up in Bessemer, and you can come all the way down to Monroe, and that's the longest stretch we have within Michigan. And I looked it up this morning, and it is closer to drive to the General Conference in Washington, D.C. from Monroe than it is to drive to Bessemer, you know, over the bridge and across the UP all the way to the far reaches of the conference. That's just the breadth of the work that we have here. And yet, it's a blessing to know that we're all connected together. And it's just so neat to see how the Lord works together among us for the furthering of the gospel. Now, I know that you're going through somewhat of a transition here, and I just want to assure you that, well, let me say this. One of the maybe fond and not so fond terms we use about the work of the Adventist Church is that it's the Great Advent Movement. And, you know, it's wonderful in many ways, and it burdens our heart in other ways. And yet, we're all working together to hasten the soon return of Jesus. Amen. And sometimes that means that the Lord moves his laborers in the vineyard around. And he doesn't only move ministers around, he moves lay members around too. And that often is a burden on our hearts too. But I want to assure you that we are already in prayerful planning and seeking the Lord for his direction for this congregation, and especially thinking of the times in which we're living, knowing that we are living just before Jesus comes again, and how we want to labor in such a way to hasten that return. So we'll be working together with the conference, with your leaders here, and this congregation is blessed with the leadership of this church, and we look forward to working together with your elders in moving forward with that. And if you have questions or anything like that, you can feel free, you know, share those with the leaders of the church, and they'll be able to communicate with us and try and answer any questions that you may have. But well, with that, do you have your Bibles with you today? Amen. I want to get right into the Word of God, so why don't we bow our heads one more time as we seek the Lord. Oh, Father in heaven, what a wonderful blessing and privilege it is for us to know that we are a part of this great worldwide movement. And Lord, today as we open your holy word, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be here to impress upon our minds and hearts the call of heaven for this day. Lord, I pray that you would encourage and strengthen us, that you would just draw near to us, for we certainly want to draw near to you. Pray that you'd speak through me. That would be not my thoughts or words, but be your thoughts, Lord, your words that speak to each heart here. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It was just a few years ago, it's amazing how time goes, but the year 2012, you'll probably remember this. I don't know if you can see that. It might be a little small. December 21, 2012. Did any of you remember that date? It created a worldwide global stir because that was the day that speculations and theories abounded. There were news programs, documentaries, even movies that were made based upon this thought that on December 21st, 2012, according to certain calendars and ancient prophecies, that the world was either going to end or maybe open up some new era of some sort where all the planets were going to align, and it was supposed to be the end of what we thought was and could be. You know, it's amazing to me, though, that while something like that swept across the world and captured the attention of the masses, that when we're looking at the signs of the times and all the things that the Bible points forward to, it's just amazing that speaking of the return of Jesus, how many in the world are so indifferent and, as it were, asleep in sin? And yet the Lord wants us to be awake for the hour. Amen? How many want to be awake? Be watching and waiting, praying earnestly for Jesus to come. I certainly do. And, you know, it's just amazing, isn't it, that something like, you know, some mythological prophecy can create such a stir, and yet the truth about the end of the times and the end of the world and the coming of Christ, and yet so many find themselves unconcerned. But friends, there is a prophetic time clock. There certainly is. And if our eyes are fixed on it, do you know what happens when your eyes get fixed on that? The thoughts get directed towards it. The thoughts and the desires and all the just facets of life get turned towards that great hope and expectation. But there certainly is a prophetic time clock. And in the Bible, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says very plainly, talking about the movements of this prophetic time clock, the Bible says, but when the what? Fullness of time. That means at the right time, the fullness of time that God had set in motion before the foundation of the world, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. Isn't it wonderful to know that when God sent His Son, Jesus came to the right place. The Bible tells us where He was to be born, the right time, and of course, in the right manner. Now, it grieves our hearts to think that Jesus was born in a stable and laid in a manger. And yet, all of these things, Scripture pointed forward to, knowing that they would be signs to bend the interest of those who love the things of heaven. But isn't it amazing, you know, when you think about the story of Jesus' birth, you have all of heaven's interest is bent towards that one night in Bethlehem. And I would say that even right now, all of heaven is interested in watching the movements of prophecy. The angels, their interest is bent towards it because they can see that things are drawing short. And you know, Revelation chapter 12, even the devil knows his time is short. Even the hosts of wickedness are watching that prophetic time clock. And they know that time is moving. So all of heaven's interest is bent towards it. And yet, you look at the birth of Christ, and his coming was nearly unnoticed by the very ones he came to save. And we just got to just guard ourselves, friends, that in our day, in our time, where we are in that prophetic clock, that the coming of Christ does not find us unawares. I mean, it had been the hope for nearly 4,000 years. I mean, from the promise of God in the garden that there would be a seed that would come forth to conquer and free us from sin. There had been that hope of the delivering, the watching, the waiting, the desires of all time. And then when he comes, there was only a scattered remnant that were ready to receive him. And we don't have time this morning to look at them all, but there are so many parallels in Scripture between the first coming of Christ, the state and just the general feeling of when he was coming, and then the time of the last days. Do you know that when Jesus came the first time, sin had marred the face of humanity so much, it had reached a height of wickedness. And so you see these movements. Before the flood, it reached this height. And then God reset earth, as it were. And then it started building again. And then Christ came and to bring light to the world. And it changed. And there was a developing of the gospel in the world. And now what's happening again? Sin is reaching a height again. And yet while sin is reaching a pinnacle on one side, God is raising up his people on the other side. And I certainly want to be on that side, the side of Jesus. But you know, how alarming can such a realization be that the hope and desire of all the ages and who would be ready to receive him? Who would be ready to receive him? This morning, let's briefly meditate on this familiar and beloved story. So let's turn our attention to that one night in Bethlehem. You remember, let's go back to the Gospel of Luke together. You remember Joseph and Mary, they had made their way to Bethlehem. The Bible tells us that they found no room in the inn. Jesus is born in a stable. The Desire of Ages calls it a rude building. The Great Controversy calls it a wretched hovel. I mean, Jesus is not in just any place. He's in this just terrible setting because no one knew that he was coming to be born Savior of the world. Luke chapter 2, looking at Jesus. So here he is, verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there is no room for him in the inn. And then verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. I mean, just imagine this. Here they are in the field, and the angels come to them. Now, the question I have when I look at this, why would the angels come to them? I mean, why would the angels come to visit these shepherds on a lonely night out in the field watching their sheep. Why did they choose them? This is just a very fascinating, insightful thing from statement from the Great Controversy, page 314. It says here, an angel visits the earth to see who are prepared to welcome Jesus. But he can discern no tokens of expectancy. He hears no voice of praise and triumph that the period of Messiah's coming is at hand. So the angel comes hoping to find those who are waiting for Jesus. They're searching. They're flying over trying to see those who are looking for Jesus to come. The angel hovers for a time over the chosen city and the temple where the divine presence has been manifested for ages. But even here is the same indifference. Friends, I just think about this. Lord, what do the angels think when they come and hover over my home? What about every Sabbath as we come together in this house of worship and the angel of God comes to hover? What does the angel think when he sees us coming together to worship God? Is there an indifference? I mean, this angel is over the house of the Lord, over the temple of God. And all he finds is an indifference. Yes, they were waiting for the Messiah, but they were waiting for a different Messiah than the one that was coming. But there was an indifference. There is no evidence that Christ is expected, and no preparation for the Prince of Life. In amazement, the celestial messenger is about to return to heaven with the shameful tidings. I mean, just think about this. This angel is sent from heaven to find those who are waiting for Jesus. And he is about ready to go back to heaven, feeling that he has a terrible report to bring back to the heavenly host, back to the Father. But then he discovers a group of shepherds who are watching their flocks by night. Now, this is just amazing to me. You notice that word discover. I mean, what does that imply, discover, right? It means that you would have just kind of passed by, but something started and you discovered, you saw something there. I mean, here are these shepherds out in a field at night, late at night. And the angels flying by and discover something. I mean, you know what happens usually late at night? Kids growing up, you know, when they would stay up late at night, you know, they're usually getting into trouble or something, you know? They're sneaking into the kitchen to find food, and they still do that. Or when people get together and stay up late into the night, usually, you know, the conversations turn this way or that way, or people up watching, whatever. But what are these shepherds doing? Notice this. Talking about the shepherds, as they gaze into the starry heavens, they're contemplating the prophecy of a Messiah to come to the earth and longing for the advent of the world's Redeemer. Here is a company that is prepared to receive the heavenly message. So the angel comes to the shepherds, not because they're shepherds, not because they're rich or poor, for none of those reasons. The shepherd comes for one simple reason, and it's because Jesus was their conversation. When they were gathered together late in the night, they were talking about the prophecies of God. I want to tell you, friends, it is hard to do when we get together. Even for those of us who are Christians, when we come together, think about, we're about ready to go into a time of festivity and holiday and gathering a family. How many times, how hard is it when we gather our families together, everyone comes together for Christmas and you have a big meal and then everyone's up at night, maybe around the fire. How often do we open the Word of God and be talking about the prophecies and the hope of what it means that Jesus came to the world and that Jesus is coming again to the world? I mean, I'll just be honest. You know, when I'm going down to my family's house, before I'm heading there, I'm pleading with God, Lord, help me to be able to turn the conversation to spiritual things. Because so often when our family gets together, you know, everyone wants to play a game and then things get, you know, a little out of hand and those kinds of things. And I'm thinking, Lord, it shouldn't only be because I'm a minister of the gospel, right? But simply because I am a disciple of Jesus, a lover of heavenly things, and I want Christ to come and I want to have my mind on the things of heaven. So I'm saying, Lord, help me. And there are times where things go and I just have to slip away. You know, sometimes my family, they'll say, how come you go to bed so early? You know, and during those times, just because if I can't steer it, I just know I can't be a part of it. But here are the angels coming and they're flying by and they hear Jesus being talked about. And they can't help it. As they hear the name of Jesus, the angel just turns and, you know, comes close to these shepherds in the field. I think of that little saying, you know, be careful, little mouths, what you say. Here they're talking about Jesus. And the angels of heaven draw near to them. I mean, angels love to be near those who talk of Jesus. And so you look here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart what? Grace to the hearers. I mean, we need to be thinking about, you know, we want to sow those words and the influence that are loving, they're gentle, they're Christ-like. I mean, words that bring a blessing and not a curse. Sometimes we don't think about our association of actually bringing a curse and not a blessing. Sometimes we don't think about those things. You remember Hebrews 10, 24 and 25? Talks about as we gather together, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up what? Love and good works, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together. I mean, our purpose as we gather together, not only as a church family, but as our influence as Christians, as we come together as families and multiples of families coming together, is to stir up love and good works. And notice this, you know, verse 25. And exhorting one another, and so much more as you what? See the day approaching. Know what that means? That means we have to be watching to see the day approaching, right? I mean, if we're not watching to see the day approaching, we're not going to be gathering together even more so. And we're not certainly not going to be using our time to stir up love and good works to hasten the coming of Jesus, if our eye isn't upon His coming. Oh, it's like, I mean, when you see the day approaching and you set your mind on those things, I mean, it just thrills the heart. When our mind is on the prophecies of Scripture and about Christ coming, we see the movements happening and we think about wanting to tell others about Jesus. I mean, you can't help it when we come together. Say, let's talk about, what do you think about this? What is it going to be like this when we get to heaven? Or What do you think Jesus means here when he's talking about this in the scriptures and turning the minds towards heavenly things? I mean, it's incredible. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, if then you were raised with Christ. Do you know what this is talking about? This is talking about us becoming disciples. You remember in Romans, it talks about baptism, right? So the old person is buried with Christ, and then what do? In baptism, we bury our lives in that watery grave. Do we stay in that watery grave? No, we're resurrected. And we're a new creature. Doesn't mean we don't have struggles and we don't, you know, have to come weeping at the foot of the cross asking the Lord to forgive us of our sin. No, but it means that we want Christ to be Lord of our lives. Not only Savior, but Lord of our lives. So if we're raised with Christ, the Bible says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And then this just beautiful statement, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. I mean, when your mind is on heavenly things, I mean, you begin talking about the coming of Jesus. I mean, you talk about the signs all around. You're talking about getting ready for his coming. I mean, you talk about the joy of walking with Jesus and what you learned with him in his study of his word that morning. You come together for family worship and you sing together and you just keep your mind on things above. Friends, I think the reason why the Bible talks so much about controlling the mind and the thought is because the way we think is where our attention goes, right? So if our things are on this earth, and there are some things, I'm not saying it's wrong to think about some things of life. That's not what the Bible's talking about. The Bible's talking about, you know, building a life in this world. You know, Jesus says you can gain the whole world and do what? Lose your soul. But then Jesus prays in John 17, he says, Lord, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So it's not that we're, this isn't, you know, some lunatic, fanatical thing that Scripture is teaching. No, it's talking about living, but living in such a way that our mind is stayed upon heavenly things. I mean, it's just amazing when we see the mind set on those things, the blessing that God gives to us and to our families. Some of my best memories. I mean, our children are almost gone. You know, Emma, you know, I'm still trying to hold on to her, you know. We have her about 6 more months at home before she's going to be, you know, going off to GLA. And that'll be the last one. And I'm trying to convince her, honey, you can stay home next year. We'll do homeschool or something, you know. Oh, no, she's probably the most extroverted out of our whole family. She just loves being around people. But some of the best memories I have of us as a family, it's just together in family worship, the kids sing. I mean, I remember one time they had practiced a song and memorized it and didn't even tell us, and then they came and performed it to Shelly and I. And the song was, Oh, When Shall We See Jesus? And I had to get my camera out and video it. I mean, they were so excited singing this song, Oh, when shall I see Jesus and reign with him above and shall see or hear the trumpet shout in the morning. And I mean, they were just so excited about it. And our hearts were all thrilled about it, just thinking of Christ coming, us hearing that trumpet, but also seeing the joy of it in our children. Some of our best memories are of that as a family. I mean, just think about Scripture telling us, setting our mind on those things that are above. This comes from a sermon that Ellen White had from Sermons and Talks, Volume 1, page 41. She says, as we have our conversation upon heaven and heavenly things, the angels of God are all around us. What does that remind you of? Doesn't that remind you of our story here in Luke 2? I mean, they're talking about Jesus, and the angel changes his course and draws near to them. And when we are in our thoughts and with our hearts drawing near to God, then He is drawing nigh to us. Friends, our thoughts can't turn to heaven without God's thoughts. Now, God's thoughts are always turned towards us, aren't they? But as our thoughts turn towards Him, we attune ourselves to hear and to see His thoughts and eye more upon us. And it's a blessing to us. We see God drawing near to us. His love is in our hearts. And then we speak it from our lips. I mean, it's in the mind, it's in the heart, and then out of the heart comes all of those issues of life, right? And if the thoughts are in heaven, what comes out of the heart? Those heavenly things. She says it is not only our duty to train our mind upon heavenly things. I mean, I'm telling you, it's not like it comes natural for us. You know what comes natural for us? To think about all the things that we have to do. To think about all the problems, all the trials, all the struggles, all the heartache, all those things. That's what's natural for us. You know what's natural for us when we get together? It's to tear other people apart. That's what's natural for us. It's natural for us to tear people down, to complain about this, to gossip about that. But here it says we're to train our minds. That means that as we begin to speak about those things, you say, wait a second. Lord, I don't want to think about those things. And we shift, praying, Lord, help me. I need your help. Shifting the thoughts and training them to be upon those heavenly things. So not only to train our minds on those things, but we are to talk of these things. For it is our duty to bind about our mind, to gird up the loins of our mind and say, I will not think of these things. Then it is our duty to guard our conversation. And that's not to stop you from having fun. That's to make the joy of your time together so much more fuller. It's the grace of heaven upon our lips and in our hearts. But as they're talking about these things, the Bible says that, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Do you know who this angel was? It was Gabriel. It was Gabriel. We read that in the Desire of Ages. It says it in one place. I looked it up this week. It's talking about at the resurrection of Christ, when the angel came to call Jesus, says that the Father calls you to arise. It says that the same angel who welcomed Jesus to the angels at his birth bids Jesus to arise. I mean, it's the same angel. It's Gabriel. And the Bible says, I mean, this is incredible. Let this sink in for a moment, because I think sometimes we miss this. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Think about that. They're out in the field. They're thinking about these heavenly things. Already their hearts are burning within them. Because you know as well as I do, when you talk about those things, our hearts just, they just yearn for heaven. And they're talking about these things. And then the angel hears the talking about Jesus. He comes. He's appears suddenly before them. And their first reaction is fear, right? I mean, you think about it. I mean, there have been times in my own prayers where I felt the presence of the Lord so near that, you know, I've just looked around kind of in fear, like, Lord, it just feels like you're so close. And I want that, of course. But when you think about the holiness of God, but think about this, the glory of the Lord shone around them. You remember Moses? See, he went up to the glory of God. He said, Lord, please show me your glory. I mean, it's just amazing. It's amazing that as we think and talk about Jesus and his soon coming, the glory of the Lord just comes around us, shines around us, and we're, as it were, wrapped in the presence of God, the presence of heaven. Doesn't that just thrill your heart? Because their minds have been on heavenly things, they're given the sign to see Jesus. Not only does the glory of the Lord comes around them, but then the angel starts to give them signs to see Jesus. Friends, as our thoughts are on heavenly things, we come to the Word of God. Do you know? We think we know all the signs of the times. But as we're studying the Word of God, God opens our mind to see more clearly the secret things of God. Those heavenly things that we could pass by without ever even seeing. He begins to reveal those to us. As we look around, we see the world with such greater clarity. We see the signs so much more clearly. And our hearts just grow even closer to heaven and desire for heavenly things. Verse 13 talks about not only Gabriel, but then the whole heavenly host reveal themselves. And they start singing. You know, hark, the herald angels sing. I mean, they sing with all of their might, giving praise and glory and honor to Jesus. Glory to God in the highest. I mean, think about Revelation chapter 14 and the first angel's message. We are to fear God and do what? Give glory to Him. Here are the angels. These are the angels that surround the throne of God. I mean, these are angels that live in the immediate presence of God. Glory to God in the highest. Then the message of the gospel. I mean, what a message. I mean, look at this. Glory to God in the highest. Verse 13. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Oh, how heaven wants peace. And heaven's goodwill in our homes. Heaven wants us to see this. They see this. Their mind is just filled with the sight of these things. Heaven is drawing near. So as we close, I mean, coming back to Colossians. Turn with me in your Bibles there. I just want you to be there so you can mark this spot. Colossians chapter 3. Just let's turn there. Colossians chapter 3. Just reading this text one more time. And then if you would, mark this spot. And if you get a moment this afternoon or this evening, go and read this section from chapter 3, verse 1, all the way through verse 17. And just look at the picture that the Apostle Paul gives about setting the mind on heavenly things and what that does to the life. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. But it says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Oh, friends, what kind of a people will we be waiting for Jesus to come? Will we have that hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord? Will we set our mind on those heavenly things? And especially as we think about this festive season, the joy of all the earth that Christ came to save us, not in our sin, but from our sin, and to take us one day soon to live with him. Could not our best and first thoughts be of him? And could not we have the hope of the coming of the Lord in our homes this Christmas season? Will we be that people? May God help us all. Amen. Let's stand to sing our hymn of commitment, Angels We Have Heard on High. Hymn number 142. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, oh, how we want to give glory and honor to you and to Jesus. Oh, what a precious Savior we have. Lord, we want more than anything for you to have the thoughts of our hearts, the deeds of our lives, and all that we are, Lord. We want every part of us to be given in service to you as our Lord and King. Oh, Father, how we long for Jesus to come again soon. Lord, we want to be like those shepherds who set their minds on heavenly things. Lord, please forgive us, for our minds have been on earthly things so many times. And we weep at the thought that we have wasted so much time, so many thoughts, on things that are trivial, that matter not. But Lord, we're praying you'd help us to redeem the time, and that we would be a people who not only look for, but will hasten the coming of Jesus. I pray a blessing upon each one here, Lord. Bless them for being here. Bless them, Lord, as they set their minds on heavenly things and upon things to come. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.